Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Joe Hilty. Joey Hilty. We are here in what will be The Vandal, a restaurant of which you are the owner and will be opening soon here. So what is the state of being of a restaurateur in Pittsburgh right now?
It's a great place to be right now. As everybody can tell, it's booming. I mean, there are so many places opening up. So many of my friends are opening up restaurants. You sort of have now second and third generation people opening up restaurants.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you have people who were maybe started as a line cook or a, you know, sous chef somewhere, and now they're opening up their own place, and it's really great to see that, because that's how you can actually measure growth in a food community, is by, you know, how many people that are the byproducts of other establishments. Yeah, it's great.
Pittsburgh is like a foodie haven. I mean, we have so many great restaurants that have opened and are being successful. Is it like this in other cities? I'm a little busy with Berg Vivant. I don't get out of town much.
Yeah,
but
it's actually very similar all across the board. I mean, I do think that Pittsburgh especially is having a great boom here. I do think that just people in general are way more into what they're eating and where they're eating it, and, you know, what's going into their food.
So you have a history with restaurants. Before deciding to open your own, you were with Bar Marco, is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what inspired you to say, you know what, I'm ready, I'm going to do this on my own?
I don't know. I guess just the opportunity presented itself. I have been doing this since I was legally able to. So I'd say maybe since I was like 14 years old.
So how did you start? What was your first role?
It's not super proud, but I was an ice cream scooper at Cold Stone.
Hey, you've got to start somewhere. And, you know, you've got ice cream covered now. So
absolutely. So I started at Cold Stone and then worked my way through college, you know, all sorts of places, down in Morgantown, West Virginia. Came back, kind of realized that food was actually what I was into, and took that way more seriously. And, you know, a couple years later, I'm sitting here with you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So you found a spot in Lawrenceville, right on Butler Street, that will be the future site of your restaurant. This is a great place to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's probably right now the best place to be. If you pay attention to the papers and whatnot, I mean, places are being opened here, you know, at least every month you have something new opening up here, and you don't see anything closing, which is, I think, the greatest measurement, is that all these places are opening up but nowhere is closing yet.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that the market can support all these new places.
And what's great is we're catching you at a very interesting time. You know, we're here in what will be the restaurant space. It's under construction, and it's a great vibe here right now because everything is just so full of possibility, you know, seeing the wood and, you know, some of the supplies there. So talk to us a bit about what you foresee as the identity of this restaurant on opening day.
Yeah. So the identity, I actually am a firm believer that the identity will sort of establish itself as the community sees fit. I think that restaurants, you know, serve a purpose. We're here to serve a community. Lawrenceville is an amazing community to serve. So many cool people live here. You know, my neighbors, the business owners, etc. I do think that our thing is going to be, you know, just a casual atmosphere to sort of get anything from breakfast, lunch, dinner. Sort of like an all-day cafe kind of vibe going on here. It'll be BYOB, So, you know, you can go across the street to industry, grab a six pack and come here and hang out and eat sandwiches.
Hey, that's convenient. That's a great way to cooperate with your neighbors there.
Absolutely. Huh? I think it's going to be a great place to hang out and, you know, drink some beers and eat sandwiches.
Now, is it tough to get a liquor license right now on Butler Street? Because I imagine, what, they zone it? You can only have so many for a particular area?
Yeah, it's a zoning thing. It's also just a price thing. Somebody kind of bootstrapping an operation, you know, finding that extra $75,000 can be a little tough sometimes.
$75,000 a year or like for
it's a flat. I mean, once you own it, and there are a lot of benefits to it. I mean, it doesn't go down in value. You always have it and, you know, all those things. But I think first things first, I want to get the food down before I...
And then we can hook you up with a bootlegger, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk off camera.
And we'll be skirting around the rules, don't worry. I mean, you know, you buy a sandwich, you get a free beer or something like that.
Hey, that's a good rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it already. Yeah. See, now the identity is already taking shape. This is really something. Now, the restaurant will be called The Vandal.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like a thief and a... You know, a shady character.
Yeah, a character who kind of operates on their own.
Yeah? So was that the inspiration for it? Did you kind of feel like you were the vandal in creating this?
Yeah, I think the name... I've had that name on the tip of my tongue for a long time. I think it, you know, it stems probably from listening to punk music and all those things when I was younger to now, where I just think it's a strong name. I love strong names, and I think it's one that you can remember. You know, it's a strong brand, and... Yeah, I love it. I think I'll never get tired of The Vandal.
So let's talk about design. Now, because I always think, you know, if I were to put together a restaurant, which is a ridiculous dream of mine, along with becoming an astronaut and a fireman and all this, you know, creating a restaurant's on there somewhere. And I always think to myself, the most fun part of it for me would be the design. You know, finding the colors and, you know, the lighting and figuring out the atmosphere of it. Because I figure, you know, one, you've got to have good food, but you've got to create an atmosphere that people want to be as well. So I always thought that was a really fun approach. Are you yourself going to be doing the design?
Yeah, I mean, we've done everything. I say we, my girlfriend and I, Emily Slagle, she...
very important to mention.
Absolutely,
gotta mention her.
She's been like a G behind this. She's done... so much of the groundwork. Gangster.
Oh, thank you for pointing that. Yeah, I'm not with it. Yeah,
so. First thank in, you. In the language. But yeah, it's she's been so amazing. And the design, I can't tell you how many times that we've went back and forth, sometimes more pleasant than others, about what this place needs to look like. And as I'm starting to watch it go together, I'm really excited. And I'm really glad that we've had all these...
Well, I tell you what, as a couple, I think having worked together this long in this capacity, you guys are solid. You got to
I can't imagine
it's always easy.
We have our days, absolutely. But yeah, how about let me ask you something?
Sure, yeah.
You were talking about wanting to own a restaurant. Mm-hmm. What would your restaurant, what would it be? What would a Berg Vivant?
Yeah, I can tell you pretty much exactly. I sort of like a retro nightclub that has sort of like some... you know, turn of the century Parisian influences mixed with 1920s New York, you know, so...
Very upscale, absolutely.
And really just, you know, gold, gilt everywhere, and, you know, always playing some old-time music, but that there would be some sort of a stage area where, you know, you could have a piano player and, you know, you'd have cocktail tables and banquettes. And, you know, if it was a big place, like if I managed to get like a big, like a old warehouse or something, have opera boxes around for VIPs and things like that. And then, of course, I'd have to find a great chef. You know, I picture a little surf and turf where you can come in for a light plate. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of place that probably looks like you're going to have to spend $1 million to go there, but really it's very affordable and people want to go there and see and be seen, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I sit up in that opera box, you know, in my tuxedo, and I come out like Ava Perón on the balcony of the Casa Rosada, and I say, yes, enjoy yourselves, yes. Realistic?
But you really did think about it, which I'm really impressed with. You didn't just say that. You've actually thought about that, I can tell.
Joe, before I go to bed every night, I run it through my mind at what the paint's going to look like. Yeah, I know. I spend a lot of time thinking about this.
That's awesome.
So, maybe if, you know, your pal's got an empty warehouse kicking around and they want to invest, you know, we can talk about that. But what kind of help do you need to do something like that? I mean, how much of this can one couple do on their own for opening a restaurant?
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, we have an awesome staff signed up with us. you know, we put a lot of feelers out there. A lot of people who I've known through my history of the service industry have kind of stepped forward and wanted to be a part of it. So it's actually been surprisingly easy getting my staff together. It's a bunch of really, really competent people who are going to bring a lot to the table, not just in their, you know, their roles in the kitchen or in the front of the house, but creatively. A lot of people that are bringing a lot to the table. So that makes my life a lot easier.
Let's talk about menu.
Okay.
Because I think when you've got a restaurant that's been running for a while, you maybe change the menu based on maybe what's popular with your clientele and things like that.
Yeah.
But starting opening day, kind of like a shot in the dark. You can put anything on here. But for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what are you thinking for a menu for the Vandal?
So I know what we're definitely going to have, and I can start with that. So we're definitely going to have fried chicken. I love fried chicken. I could eat it every day. I think a lot of people share that passion with me.
It's good stuff.
It's going to be really fun, the fried chicken, because obviously, you know, I think we're going to do sort of like a family style kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it serves 2 to 4 people. It'll be a bucket of fried chicken. So you'll be able to get that. And then whatever kind of seasonal sides and sauces and pickles and all kind of fun stuff that really, you know, makes everything really pop.
Chicken and waffles seem to be really popular right now. I mean, oh, they always were, but
everybody
now
loves
they're
chicken and waffles right now.
Now they're kind of creeping into restaurants, whereas you might just have only been able to get it at like a cafe down south or something.
Yeah. It was definitely, you know, super popular ethnic food that has really kind of found its way into like mainstream dining. I remember eating chicken and waffles at a place called Simmy's over in Homewood way back, like probably like 9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, very awesome experience. I see it now on a lot of menus. I do think it's great that people are into it because it's, I mean, it's, I think I get tired of Eggs Benedict at brunch. I mean, as much as a lot of people probably never tire of it, I love seeing chicken and waffles or something like that to kind of break it. And I also love sweet and savory. Anytime I can put maple syrup on anything, I'm into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. So we might be seeing, might we see chicken and waffles at some point on this breakfast menu?
I think you'll definitely see fried chicken and maple syrup. We'll see about the waffles. I got to work with my team on that, get a good recipe for waffles. Yeah. You know, but I think breakfast, you're going to see a lot of healthier options. I don't want to deter anybody when I say healthy food, but...
Well, you know, it's something to consider because, you know, you've got so many people on a diet either for, you know, just healthy eating reasons or, you know, we've got this gluten stuff that's blowing up now. You got to
I mean, again, it's serving the neighborhood. I think people here would love a chance to get, you know, some really good healthy breakfast options kind of on the go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing them in a way that is very, very kind of fun and exciting and gives them a new palette of flavors to start their day off with.
I mean, I can't even have a group of people over to dinner without being, okay, who's a vegetarian, who's gluten-free, who's, you know, lactose intolerant. So I can't imagine what you've got to consider in putting that menu together.
I mean, I'm just making food that I want to eat.
Well, hey, there's a good place to begin.
And I don't want to be self-serving with that when I say that. I just mean that I think that if you're a vegetarian or you have any of those sort of preferences, what better than vegetables as opposed to some sort of fake meat or fake...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Some sort of fake thing,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're doing vegetables, like, we're doing vegetables right.
Mm.
I think we'll probably have avocado toast in the menu because I eat that every day for breakfast.
I've never had that. What is it?
It's amazing. It's just, you just grill some bread. And you can do it on a grill or just in a skillet or something, toast it up.
Oh, and then, like, spread avocado like it'd be like butter.
Mash up some avocado like butter, maybe some pickled radishes.
Hmm.
Salsa verde, you know, if it's breakfast, so maybe like a hard-boiled egg.
Now, see, this is the downside of interviewing you in here before you've got your stove and stuff in, because now I want to eat something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but soon enough. When's your target opening date?
We'll be open, I'm hoping in the first week of June.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
This June, 2015.
I don't know how, but
I don't know either. That's why I'm like asking you.
Yeah, we're actually going to get to work right after this interview. Probably start putting in the floor. I didn't tell you about that, but I think that's what we're doing next.
Cool.
But I mean, it's doable. I mean, right now, it might not look like it's close, but it's all finishing things. All the utilities are in. Everything has been inspected and stuff. Now all the pretty stuff gets to happen. We get to make it look how we want it to look, and we'll be ready to go.
This is truly a moment in time, because from here, there's just going to be something new every day, isn't
it? Absolutely. It is a real treat to wake up to a bunch of emails from people you probably should have talked to yesterday.
Well, hey, at least they're on the ball,
right?
Yeah.
Someone's got to be on the ball. It's usually me, but not, you know, Everybody awesome. Has their day.
So what do you feel are your biggest challenges right now at this point in the process?
The biggest challenge is sleeping, probably. Mm. And it's a lot of anxiety. I mean, this is like my baby. So everything leading up to the opening day, I have to make sure it's perfect. Even once we open up, I mean, I'm sure I know going into this that I'm going to be fixing things kind of as we go.
Yeah.
And adjusting and, you know, changing and reformulating, you know, recipes and the way we do service, all those things, because you can never plan for the flow of the room and how people are going to utilize the space and how your team is going to work behind the scenes. You just have to be open. So I think once we get the doors open, I'm going to be able to sleep a lot better.
So you've spent a lot of time in the restaurant business, but this will be your first adventure as owner
yeah.
of a restaurant.
Yeah.
So what is your philosophy as far as not just opening a restaurant, but maintaining it?
Maintaining is all about presence. Ownership presence is probably the most important.
And by that, you mean you here
yeah,
on site?
Yeah, me being here. I opened this restaurant because I love this business. So I want to be here every day to enjoy that. I will love eventually when I can be here more as a figure instead of a, you know, behind the scenes kind mm-hmm. of thing. But I enjoy every part about this. I enjoy mopping floors. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy creating, you know, menu ideas. I mean, I love it. I don't know why, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the things in this world to love, I think to love serving people is really special.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bacon is really big right now.
Yeah, bacon is really big.
You got any plans for bacon?
There's always plans for bacon. I feel like there will never be a time when bacon isn't in vogue.
Right. Let's hope, huh?
Absolutely. I think the quality of bacon is something that we can always debate. I think there's a lot of bad bacon out there.
Oh, man. Lousy
bacon. I think sourcing good bacon is really important. You know, it does cost a bit more, but it's so worth it. Mm-hmm. And you can only really tell having the side-by-side. Kind of comparison thing, but I'll definitely be doing things with bacon, whether it's on a breakfast sandwich, whether it's you know, using a potato salad, or you know, all kind of different things.
Thank you. I am content now.
Yeah,
hearing that. But on the subject of sourcing, I've always been impressed that for a large metropolitan area, Pittsburgh really does have a lot of options for locally sourced food items and ingredients.
Most people are actually very, very jealous of Pittsburgh's ratio of farms to restaurants.
Good. Let them be jealous.
A lot of friends in New York and things of that nature, they talk about it, and it's way harder up there because there's just so many restaurants and so few farms.
Whereas, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, here there's a little bit more of a little more room for everybody to get in on it. Penn's Corner are amazing. When I worked at Bar Marco, they were like our main supplier, and they get amazing stuff.
Hmm.
Even some stuff that's like foraged, which is definitely a thing now. People love their foraged items.
Well, you've got Wild Purveyors down the street here.
Wild Purveyors.
They're probably a good neighbor.
Kevin, he's been doing that for a long time. You know, right now, it's about that time for ramps. I know everybody loves ramps and anything right now.
Listen, I just found out what a ramp was last year.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, aside from the things that Pittsburgh closes every season,
yeah.
and especially, you know, there's no way in a Carnegie right now, I'm like, it's a ramp, you know? But I had them. And actually, I think it might have been from Wild Purveyors at a Brooklyn Brewery MASH Tour event
last year.
I had ramps for the first time. I'm like, these are great, man.
They're amazing.
You going to be using ramps?
When I can.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard to find, but when you find them, you definitely use them.
Now, can you farm them? Can you grow them? Or is it something you gotta find wild?
I wish I would, you know, I wish I knew more on that end of things.
Yeah,
the
I'm
cultivating
gonna...
end of it. I do know there's some secret spots to find them that people are very territorial about, so I kind
of... You know, Pennsylvania's got a lot of mystical things that grow like that people hunt for, like the morel mushrooms, you know.
Pawpaws. Pawpaws are very special.
The
ground
hell's
cherries.
A pawpaw?
A pawpaw, it's a fruit. It's like a... like tastes kind of like apple, but it's way more custardy. Like it's actually the flesh is actually almost like a custard.
What?
It's kind of sweet. You can get it frozen a lot of places, but the fresh pawpaw is sort of a Western PA thing.
And you can't really you got to go hunt for it. Like
yeah, you got to find it. It's not easy to find.
It's like you hear these stories. It's like we live in Narnia or something.
Yeah.
You know, go and hunt for ramps
or
and morel mushrooms.
It's kind of like we have elves living in the woods or something. But it's like Iceland.
I've never even heard. Like, really, you could be pulling my leg and making this up. But I think maybe I could get into that, going to hunt for these hard to find items. Things.
There's money in it. Yeah, I know. I'll pay you if you find them.
A pawpaw?
Yeah.
What's a pawpaw worth to you?
Oh, God. I think we're going for like four bucks, maybe?
Yeah.
Four or five bucks? I don't know what the latest.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah. You get enough of them, you can retire early.
On pawpaw, yeah.
Which is, maybe we both should do that.
I built this kingdom on pawpaws. You know? Like, I'll be the William Randolph Hearst of the pawpaw industry. Well, see, now look at that. I learned something today. Indeed. But now, do you think that you will make an effort to, you know, locally source with what you are
doing
here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's opening up a restaurant in 2015. It's your duty.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement, but yeah. I am totally behind that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are going to be things, there are going to be times when you source, you know, elsewhere for things.
Yeah.
In different times of year, you know, seasons change and certain items are going to be harder to get here. But in general, you should really try to use it as much as you can.
Sure.
It's more expensive, but it's not that much more expensive. And I think consumers, the most important thing is consumers now understand that. I think there was a time when they didn't understand the difference between a local tomato and one that was just, you know, brought from a farm 1,000 miles away.
Their accents differ.
Yeah.
A local tomato says yens.
That's a good joke.
See, now you learned something.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Sorry. You're kind to laugh at that.
But yeah, so people definitely understand the value in it and are willing to pay for it now, which makes life a lot easier for a lot of chefs and restaurant owners.
So later this summer, after you're open, after your ambitious opening day of June 1st?
Yeah,
absolutely. Not even July, June.
I know.
After opening day, if someone's walking down Butler Street and they happen to see the sign, the Vandal, what can they expect from their experience having visiting you?
I just want people to feel good. I want people to come in and just be a part of it. It's going to be a beautiful space. The food's going to be beautiful. Our staff are going to be as charming as ever. And it's just going to be a place where you just are like, oh man, I could be here 5 days a week. I come here every day for my lunch or my breakfast.
Everything that I've heard. So you might be seeing a lot of old Brian Edward down here at the Vandal.
I'll be looking for you.
But Joe, cheers to you. All the best. The opening of the Vandal this summer. We're looking forward to it. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.